always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider at and lead Lakers content creator at Offside. Joined on this fine Friday afternoon. It is your favorite day of the week, and it is Harrison Fagan sitting in Pete Zayas's pot. Pete, or no, Harrison. You know, how does it feel to fill your dad's shoes? Internet dad's shoes.
You know, they're big shoes, and he normally, you know, he's only let me on his podcast, I think once, maybe twice. So, you know, it's a big opportunity to step in here and show coach dad that I can fill in.
I remember for some reason I think Darius had like reposted the tweet to that episode or something like that. And like the first comment on there was like, gosh, I can't believe you let Harrison on there. And he just made a mockery of the whole thing, cracking jokes every other comment. And I was like, okay, I can see why I haven't been on.
Well, okay. Thank you for that, because I didn't see that comment, but now that will live with me in my heart for the rest of the weekend. And I will be thinking about that.
Right before your internet dad moves across the country.
Yeah, he's actually leaving.
He's just stepping out to get cigarettes, Harrison. He's just, you know.
he's going to Florida for milk.
Raw milk is, I think, the only brand they serve out there.
Oh, God. I'm not touching that. I just want to say I appreciate you on the rundown today, changing the top bullet point to LaBrotherly Love, because otherwise that is the only signal that I have that you even changed the rundown from when I was on earlier in the week. Like, I feel like for the last 2 weeks, your rundown has just been like LeBron sending a message to the Lakers, Jonathan Kuminga, Q&A.
It's all I've been fucking talking about, Harrison. I feel like Odysseus just sailing the seven seas, talking about the same damn thing.
Island is Jonathan Kuminga? Is he the sirens that lure you to your death? Is he the giant child that starts screaming and then people come and beat you up?
Or he could be the Trojan horse, right? Like, since he's technically coming from a division rival.
Jonathan Kuminga's the Trojan horse, and then like when you bring him in, all of his friends and Aaron Turner just like descend out and start stealing the food from the family room.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so today on the show we're going to be talking about LeBron's decision. Today's breaking news, though, at this point it is no longer breaking. LeBron James is a Philadelphia 76er. So the two big winners from this entire situation have to be, obviously, the Philadelphia 76ers, as well as Kalshi and Polymarket, because those two companies took in so much money, and I bet the least amount of money was probably paid towards the Philadelphia 76ers through all of this, and that winds up being the winner. So Kalshi, Polymarket, congratulations.
I feel like the Heat social media person that put up the accidental Miami Heat press conference thing, like, they should get a cut of that, I think, for like, you know, all the money that they potentially brought in on Miami. Or they should be, and or maybe this is not mutually exclusive, they should be investigated for whether or not one of those books paid them enough money that it was worth losing their job to do that because of the amount that they knew it would bring in on Miami.
Yeah.
Like, was this this person had just put in their 2 week situation and they were looking for one last payday?
I just want to know, through whatever reporting is necessary, whether LeBron is an investor in either. That's all I want to know. Like,
I feel like we'd know, because he would probably have advertised for them. Like, if it, most of the stuff that he invests in, he's out there doing an ad, or at least like his face is slapped on. So, like, we would have like a lame, like Giannis style post on, like, you know, his picking his next destination and being able to profit off of your own choices or whatever.
Yeah, I think that LeBron is smart enough to keep that on the down low, because I think the blowback to that would be significantly worse than the decision in the first place. But yeah,
No, it would not. Come on. No, it wouldn't. Yeah. Worse than the decision.
I'm telling you, like, the
people are mad. I will grant you, people are mad at those style of companies. But I don't think that they're as mad as, like, they're going to, like, go, like, burn his jersey in the streets of Cleveland because he invested in Cauchy. Like, we, you know, unfortunately, we live in a world where there is no shame anymore. Like, there would be people, you know, on the internet that were mad at him, but it would not be anywhere close to, like, the real world blowback of the decision didn't Cleveland fans, like, try to bring in batteries to throw at him in the game back? Like, nothing like that was going to happen.
I wonder if they're going to do that again. Like, do you think Cleveland fans are going to boo him again?
I feel like at that point, it's like, you know, it's like when you're Charlie Brown and Lucy.
Do you think Lakers fans are going to boo him?
I do wonder about that, actually.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk about that a little bit later. Before we do, a quick reminder, please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show as well as YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. Please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey, but anywhere is perfectly fine with me. And today's show is brought to you in video form here on YouTube by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA and get $150 worth of Prize Picks lineups. If you sign up, use that promo code and win that first $5 lineup that you set. Harrison, I want to start, like, we'll talk about, like, fan reaction and all that stuff too. But LeBron's, like, tweet thread, which, by the way, dude, like, you're verified, man. Like, you could have made it one tweet.
Yeah, but he has one of the verifieds that, like, they just give to the famous people, right? There's no way he's paying for that. So I don't know. Do you still get the edit function?
I don't know. I'm surprised none of, like, the main. All right, here we go. Ooh, I can technically unfollow LeBron.
After the last couple days of
that would be the funniest thing to do.
It would be very funny if you were like, ah, finally, can unfollow LeBron. I'm tired of dealing with that.
been fighting with every Laker fan on planet Earth about this. And to finally be like, all right, we're done here. All right, so I'm just going to read his little Twitter statement here. Kudos to Brian Windhorst, who said that there was not going to be a big hullabaloo here. There wasn't going to be some crazy big announcement. He said it was going to be kind of low key. This was the lowest key I could have possibly envisioned. Was LeBron just basically, you know.
I mean, with the Lakers, he just had Clutch put out a statement saying he was going there. I feel like that's arguably even lower key. We got even less insight into his decision than this. They were just like, yeah, we're going to the Lakers.
I guess.
Yeah.
But anyway, so LeBron writes on Twitter, I thought I was done when the season ended, which I think is interesting, that OKC beat the brakes off the Lakers to such an extent that he was like, I don't want to do this again.
I don't even like basketball that much, man.
Why did I waste 24 years of my life doing this?
This is a stupid game. Golf is so much better.
I wasn't ready to announce it, and I knew I needed some time to really decide, but I was pretty sure I played my last game. I was honest at that last press conference when I said I needed to look at myself and decide if I still love this game. I truly love this game, and I have more to give. The last few weeks have been special. I've never been able to have no clue what to do and take real time to just think. I've had an incredible few months with all the people I love trying to figure it all out. This is my last decision. I'm not going for money. I'm not going for family. I thought that was an insane thing to write. What am I really playing for at this point? I still want to sacrifice. I still want to work. I still want to grind. I still want to compete to win and have a chance at the feeling of winning another championship. I believe I can make the Philadelphia 76ers a championship team, and I am so excited to energize a new fan base and start this incredible journey one last time. Thank you, LA. Miami, I'll forever love, and Northeast Ohio will always be home. Prayer emoji, which, by the way, have you heard that that's a high five emoji?
No.
Yeah, there's like there's some internet
disagreement over this emoji.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always thought it was a prayer thing too, but apparently, the emoji people came out and you know, like the end credit scene to the emoji movie was somebody saying, "Oh, it's actually people going like that."
They're like, and it's GIF.
Yeah, salute emoji and obviously crown emoji. So I think, Harrison, I don't have to read too far into this, that it's a pretty crystal clear message sent to the Lakers here. He wants to win a championship. He wants to feel like he can win a championship and doesn't think that the Lakers can win a championship. So even setting aside the Palace intrigue stuff, right, which you and I have talked about just a couple days ago, setting that stuff off to the side about like whether he trusted the Lakers and what pushed him to this point where he's willing to take a third or fourth option at some times role on the minimum across the country, like setting all that stuff aside, the first and foremost thing that I took from this that I wanted to talk about on the podcast is that he just told everybody here, anybody paying attention, anybody reading that statement, those guys don't know what it takes to win a championship. That roster that Rob Pelinka took 2 years to arrive at is not good enough to win a championship, even if I'm on it at the minimum. So, like, I don't know. Am I wrong to take that from it? Like, I don't know if there's any other way to read that aside from like all of I still want to grind. And I thought, I actually really thought it was legitimately heartfelt. Like, that is very clearly written by LeBron. That wasn't PR speak. That was strictly LeBron typing away at his iPhone. And I think he said
this was not
also at the very, very end. It was like, thanks, LA. I love you, Miami, and Cleveland will always be my home. It's just I don't know. I don't think this ended as amicably as people wanted to frame it as.
I think that's reading a lot into the thanks LA part of it. I mean he already probably did a whole statement run for like how much, you know, how much their conscious uncoupling was a win-win for both parties, and everyone was ready to move on, and it wasn't just the Lakers. He also wanted to leave. Don't put in the paper that he didn't want to leave. And you know, the way that I read it, I think, if you're saying like, I don't see how you can read that as anything but a shot at the Lakers and their championship readiness. I think the other way you could read it is, you know, the way that I hate to keep going back to this because we've been having this conversation all year, but guys very rarely take the discount for the incumbent team. It just doesn't happen. But the massive discount, like, you know, maybe every so often you have your Brunsons, you have your Wembys, and they take, you know, 100,
even
50 million, 100 million less than the max that they could have gotten. Yeah. But they're still making very, very good money. Guys rarely go from the max to the minimum on the incumbent team. That's kind of a tough swallow your pride moment. And as we know, like LeBron, like all NBA players, has a lot of pride, maybe more than most, as he should. He's arguably the greatest player ever. And so I just have a hard time believing that he was going to just be like, hey, you guys traded for Luka, you max out Austin, and while making me take a backseat, and then I'm just actually, you know, that's cool. Like, I'm just going to take the minimum for you guys and sort of recede into the background. I think it was always going to be a situation where he took the minimum for someone else as a way to say, hey, like, I can still contribute, and you guys shouldn't have pushed me out the door by not properly valuing me. And I'm going to go create this super team to show you like how much I can still contribute to winning, but that I'm not going to do it for you after you sort of gave me the middle finger, in my view.
The other, and Ashley Mowry makes this point here. We didn't even try to keep him. We basically fired him. That's another way. Like if you're looking at it purely from the Lakers standpoint, that is one way to read it, where the Lakers, and look, like based on their actions, right? Like,
yeah,
they didn't have him in their plan.
They literally did not have him in the binder that they presented to Luka Doncic last summer per Ramona Shelburne. And I understand, like, Libert, you could say, oh, LeBron's a free agent. How could you? It's a plan. It's not a promise of these are the exact people we are going to sign and whatever. You could have mentioned, hey, it would be nice to keep LeBron at a discount in there. And they didn't. And, you know, we have yet to hear any credible reporting of any real dialogue between the two sides. It seemed very much like their plan was, you know, lose LeBron's cap hold and, you know, step two, sign a bunch of guys, and step three, profit and get better by losing LeBron. Like, it doesn't seem like there was any serious effort whatsoever to retain him. And if he felt a certain way about that, I wouldn't really blame him.
Well, that's the thing, is that, like, if he was rejected to the extent that at least Ashley is presenting it and at the Lakers' own actions present it, then I don't necessarily blame LeBron for telling everybody, yeah, that group isn't winning a championship, you know? Because again, like, spin is a part of this too. And he is going to want to try to frame it in like, I made my choice. This is why I made it. This is why I think this team is closer than that team to winning it. But I still keep on asking myself, and I know that, and I promise, like I understand.
Are we going to put in a Byron Scott rule for LeBron?
We might have to. Although every fucking time that Jake LaRavia doesn't shoot a wide open three pointer as the starting power forward of the Lakers, I just want you guys to remember
it's Kuminga. Okay, it's going to be Kuminga.
Okay, every fucking time that Aaron Turner makes an appearance on this show to try to make the case for a longer term extension for Jonathan Kuminga,
the Hoop Collective is like, no, we're not doing that again. And he's like, all right, Lakers Lounge it is.
No, he'll go on the Lakers Collective. He'll think they're related.
He's like, this is the official Lakers podcast, right? This is a good, these are good people to network with.
So, but yeah, I think that like, and I promise I'll leave it alone after the show. Take that back. I'm writing about it.
Yeah, don't promise
but
that.
No, I'm going to try. Okay. I'll make an honest to God effort. I'll make a better effort at doing this than the Lakers made at retaining LeBron. How about that? To not bring this up anymore and just leave it alone. Okay. Cause he is now on a completely different team on the other side of the country. In the other conference, which I do think was a legitimate factor here, I think he really wanted to go east. I think, have there I been?
Not. Did you see been, the like, Eastern what? Conference Finals? I know everybody's well, like, Knicks are defending champions, but they waltzed through the Eastern Conference.
Well, I think the stat for LeBron is that all but like maybe two or three years that he's been in the Eastern Conference, he's been in the finals. Right? Do I have that right? I think I have that right. There was like the year that Orlando won in the conference finals against him, and then
no, because his
there were three
conference finals.
Yeah, but anyway,
yeah, I mean, that
yes, I see your comment here. I'm going to talk to Lakers fan. You know what? I'm going to do this now. Screw it.
Should you?
There's been a contingent of Lakers fans who have been telling me to just get over it. And even worse, there's been a contingent of Lakers fans who've been telling me that real Lakers fans should be happy about this, should be thrilled that LeBron James took a look at the NBA's landscape and decided that he had a better chance at winning a championship than with the Lakers. And to those Lakers fans, I say that doesn't make you a real Laker fan. That makes you an idiot. That makes you a cultist. And even worse, it makes you an enabler with the behavior that we have seen from this front office. This front office just told LeBron James, while he's still really good at basketball, that while they are trying to win a championship with Luka Doncic in this window of his prime, that they are better off without him. This is the same front office that told Anthony Davis and it told LeBron James while they were still really good at basketball, nope, not even going to try to win with you guys. And time after time after time again, you guys just stand for every single one of their decisions. And it drives me nuts. That doesn't make you a real fan. That makes you a narc. It makes you a mark. Like, it makes you somebody that they can just take advantage of. I had a source close to the Lakers over the weekend tell me the reason that the Lakers could treat LeBron the way that they did here this summer is because they knew a lot of Lakers fans were just waiting for the day that this guy was gone. You know what I mean? Like, that's the part of this that, like, I really, really wish Lakers fans were just more knowledgeable about actual basketball. Some of them. I think there's vast majority of Lakers fans are a truly knowledgeable fan base. But there's this percentage, and it's crazy how many of them have Kobe in their Avi or Avatar or at. And it's crazy how many of them are just like, no, we're going to say the dumbest things, or we're going to high-five each other on Reddit while we say those dumbest things. Move on, man. You're telling me to move on from LeBron. Y'all got to move on from Kobe. At some point, at what point, like from a purely basketball standpoint, are you going to be willing to be like, all right, somebody has to step into those shoes and meaningfully do so? And LeBron tried. And you guys were like, no, we don't even want you to try. Get out of here. Maybe you guys will accept Luka, but the moment he slips up, then what? So I don't know. I really, really wish people wouldn't police the way that everybody else is supposed to react to Lakers news. I'm fine telling you guys. Do you. Do you. Fine, go for it. You want to be happy about LeBron leaving? Fine. You want to be happy about Jake LaRavia like being your starting power forward, or even Jonathan Kuminga being your starting power forward? Fine. But don't try to tell the rest of us who actually do care about the well-being of this franchise, who actually do want to see what is best for the basketball interests of this franchise. Don't tell us that we're in the wrong here for being a little nervous about the fact that Jake LaRavia is going to be their starting power forward next season. That's the part of it that I'm like the most legitimately angry at. Is like, why are you guys telling me, just because of a rivalry that ended a decade ago,